It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. Got a lot to talk about today. Got a good guest on today. You know, we've talked about young drivers in the past a lot on this show. And maybe one of the most talented young drivers in America could be Ryan Timms. And he's going to join us here in just a little bit. Looking forward to talking to Ryan. Spent a little time with him out on the tour last year. He's a good kid. He's got a lot going for him. He's a very talented driver. He's 15 years old. He's about ready to turn 16. And when he turns 16, folks, Katie, bar the door. He's going to be running a lot of different races. I'm sure you're going to be seeing him run with the World of Outlaws, the All-Stars. Is there an age limit with either one? Is there an age limit with the All-Stars?
16.
16, yeah.
Majority of your 410 stuff, 16.
Most all 410 series are 16 years old, right?
Besides Nosa and Husetts.
Nosa. Where's Nosa?
Northern Outlaw Sprint Association, which is Husetts, Jackson, like
and that's
Fargo.
Why he's been allowed to run up there lately.
Tracks up north.
Yeah, yeah. Well, out of all the young drivers, let's get into this just a little bit, Austin. Let's talk about it just for a minute. There's a lot of young, up-and-coming drivers, right? There's a lot of talented young drivers out there. Where would you rank Ryan Timms as one of those drivers? Could you rate him? Would he be in the top five of the young drivers coming up through the pipe right now?
I'd say he's number one.
Number one.
Just for, I mean, we have a lot of up and coming kids and midgets right now,
right?
But they're just in midgets only. They're not running, you know, 410s, and you know, in each division they have the ones that are good, and you know, everybody is good in their own division and respective
right.
level, and but. The guys Ryan's racing with in the 410s have done it all. I mean,
right.
he's beat the best that there is, and you know there's still some tougher competition out there with the Outlaws. But you know when he turns 16, he'll be just right there with them. He went to PA and won in PA in his first couple starts at Lernerville.
Right.
And I think just being so diverse in his wing racing between the 360 and the 410 and the midget, I think you have to be right there. You know. One or in the top three, in my opinion.
He's been on quite the roll here as of late. He was the first driver to pick up the Lucas Oil PowerEye 410 Sprint Car Series race, and that was at Lake Ozark Speedway on June 11th. And then he picked up three wins in a row at Jackson Motorplex, two nights at Jackson Motorplex, and then the final night at Husetts, and he picked up a $10,000 bonus. That was a nice little extra bonus, wasn't it? What was it, $25,000 altogether?
A $25,000 weekend, and, you know, the cars that he beat up there is just, I mean, he's, the group that races at Jackson and Husetts weekly is one of the toughest groups up there. I mean, you get a lot of Doxel cars, you got McCarls go up there, Brooke Tatnall's up there, Justin Henderson, Dusty Zomer, you'll get Gio up there a couple times, and I mean, these are guys that have won outlaw races.
Right.
And some big outlaw races and won at Knoxville. I mean, that's no slouch in competition, and for him just to kind of walk up there in his, you know, first couple races in a 410, I mean, he's probably ran 50 or so 410 races. I mean,
right.
It's still on the low amount compared to them guys. They probably have, you know, thousands of races and thousands of laps under their belt. And
right.
I mean, that's just something you don't see every day.
Unfortunately for Ayrton Jennington, Ryan Timms started ninth up there at Husetts the other night. Was there any question that he was going to be able to run down the leaders there? Because he was just ripping through the field, wasn't he?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that he started ninth. I mean, he started on the front row. So the first night at Jackson, I think he started about ninth or so. He was in the first four rows or so.
Yeah.
And he started front row out Saturday night, and then he started ninth at Husetts. So two of the three wins came from the lower top 10.
Right.
And, you know, that's not like he's just starting on the front row and walking away with it. And once he, I mean, he's won. You can win from anywhere, really.
Right.
But it's just harder as you go back. And I think, you know, once he kind of showed that in the first couple laps that he was able to get by a couple of those cars and break in the top five, we knew he was a contender. And then the yellow just fell just right for him at Husitz, and he was able to get to Ayrton, and then Ayrton kind of made a mistake, and then you know, Ryan and doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes, and he was able to capitalize on it. And
yeah,
at that point, I mean, his program set up good, he can drive it, and it's just about, you know, putting it together. And I mean, he's been able to do that for, you know, quite a few races now.
Right. You know, he picked up a win April 9th at San Francis County Raceway, and that was on April 9th, and then I go back and I'm looking at some of his stats. Then he picked up another 360 sprint car win up at Black Hills Speedway on May 6th, and then you surf down through more of his stats, and then you look at the Lake Ozark. He really got Lake Ozark Speedway figured out. He's won down there twice.
Yeah, you'd say that. I mean, he won his first ASCS race there.
That was a Power Eye midget race that he won there back in May 28th.
Yeah, well, if you go back last year, he won three races. No, he won two races there. He won a regional race the first time, then he won the $10,000 to win race in May, and then he won a couple midget races, and he comes into this year. So, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, one of his better tracks would be the Lake.
Yeah, no doubt. And he picked up another 410 win up at Husitz on May 29th as well. So the kid has got it going on. Obviously, he's got some of his favorite tracks, but Lake Ozark Speedway, Husitz seem like two of his favorites to me.
Well, that's the only two he can race at with a 410. So it's,
well, and Jackson.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you got three to pick from for your favorites, you know, not a tough choice.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. I just think that when you look at him as, you know what I think he's got going on for him too, and I don't mean to take anything away from his driving ability, because he has he's really a really talented driver, right? We know that, but I also think that it has a lot to do with Jimmy Jones, his crew chief.
Anytime you can have a crew chief
that knows a thing or two,
anybody that races can speak to this,
right?
Anytime you can have a crew chief come in there and call the shots and be spot on pretty much 90% of the time,
right,
have a great crew that knows what's going on, that can do all the other work that a crew chief doesn't do,
right?
And take orders from the crew chief, and it all work together too really well. And it just leaves the driver to either watch the track and focus on himself. You know, anytime that you can just get the driver to do the driving only, it's probably the best they're going to be. You know, when you start getting them, you know, working on the car, I mean, you need to know how to work on the car, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when they're trying to do four jobs at once plus race, I mean, at that point, you're spreading yourself out so thin, that's not going to work out the best, in my opinion, I guess.
I think a driver needs to know a thing or two about his car.
There's nothing wrong with knowing how they go together and knowing what adjustments to make, but when you're having to do them as a driver,
right,
you don't get the focus on the racing and what's going on the track.
Right. I think as a driver, and I just go back to my experience as a driver. You know, I had one of the best crew chiefs that anybody could ever had, J.J. Sonnevelt. He worked for me for about 10 years. And he and I, when I would come in, I could tell him, I'd say, you know, I think we need to work in this area right now. You know, if it's stagger, or if it was a panhard bar adjustment, or whatever, just air pressure, it didn't matter. Or sway bar, or whatever you needed to do, I could kind of pinpoint where we needed to go. And JJ either would agree with me or disagree with me, and he would think, all right, well, maybe that's not where we need to go. Maybe we need to go a little bit over here. And you would communicate. And I think communication with your crew chief, kind of giving them an idea what you think, where you need to go area-wise, like on a sprint car. Do I need to space it out? Do I got the right bar in? Do I got the right amount of rollout in the rear? You know, there's a lot of things that you can do to make your car a little bit better. But I think you have to have that communication with your crew chief.
Well, I mean, you do. You just can't go out there and mash the gas, come back in, and just go sit in the chair and expect them to know what's going on.
Right.
I mean, you got to know what's going on, and you got to, like you said, communicate with them. I mean, it's, you know, a lot. You know what's going on, and you're the only one that knows what's going on. We can look at and take a guess, but it's you in the seat that knows what's really going on. And I mean, you're exactly right. Anytime you can. Like, I felt it firsthand. I had Miles Paulus come help us last year. And, you know, Dad's our, my crew chief. But he doesn't have a lot of sprint car experience.
Right.
You know,
right.
We have a lot of pavement or modified experience. And, you know, that's good in that division. But
that's where your dad's expertise is.
Yeah.
Right?
And then now I have Miles come. And, you know, Miles has done this for a couple of years. And he's a driver, too. So when I tell him I feel something, he's felt it too, and he knows how to fix it or make it better. And that was, I mean, I only worked with him for a couple of nights, and the first night I was with him, we came from 20th to 6th at Lucas, and then next week we were at Tri-City running 5th with the National Tour. And it's just, mm-hmm. The communication was just so much better. Now now he knows what I'm feeling, and we can know where to go from there.
Right. You know, I got a feel that Jimmy Jones, and I've told you this off the air, Jimmy Jones is really good at knowing what direction to go in to fix things. And I think that's where the biggest benefit that Ryan has with Jimmy is that Jimmy has so much experience. You go back to the Mark Kinzer days, Carl Kinzer, hanging around with those guys, working with those guys over the years. I just think that Jimmy is, he's my age. He's the same age as me. We're about 3 months apart, and I'm very good friends with Jimmy. But Jimmy doesn't want to have to do all the work on the race car anymore. He wants to be able to give the driver advice, tell the team what they need to do, what adjustments they need to make. I think Jimmy still tunes the motor. But I think in the end, having somebody that just has all that experience, if you got somebody in your corner that's got 30 years of experience, that's a huge benefit to the driver.
You're exactly right. It just makes everybody's job, and their learning curve goes from being, you know, straight up and down to almost flat. I mean, it's just so much easier, and they got lucky that they got hooked up with Jimmy, and it's, you know, I think
Jimmy's not cheap, though.
No, not
at that level.
All crew chiefs aren't cheap,
right?
You know, I mean, that's,
you know, I'm pretty good friends with Wayne Purdy as well. You know, with Weiss Purdy Racing, and you know, if you're a top flight crew chief, you're going to get pretty good bucks. At the very minimum, I think a top flight crew chief gets anywhere from $900 to $1,000 a week. A week.
I know of one that's getting
more than that.
More than that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the more I can see, like, the Outlaw crew chiefs getting anywhere from $1,750 to $2,250, $2,500 a week. That's what I'm going to guess for your premier Outlaw team.
I know a lot of crew chiefs, and I don't know. I'm not sure if I know anybody that's getting that kind of money.
I mean, I might be a little high, but
maybe in the world of Outlaws.
That's what I said.
Yeah, yeah, world of Outlaws, possibly. Yeah.
You know, but an average 410 crew chief gets about $1,500.
Yeah. Well, I've discussed salary with a lot of guys that are out there on the tour, and I kind of got an idea what some of them were getting paid. So out of all my years out on the tour, I could only think of the world of Outlaw guys getting that kind of big money, you know, $1,500 to $2,500. I don't think you're going to see anybody in the ASCS 360 Sprint Car Series.
Not if you're a millionaire.
Not unless you just got real big money. But Ryan Timm's family... Listen, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You know, a lot of people are jealous of spoiled rich kids. I was never jealous of spoiled rich kids. You know what I wished? I wish I was one of them. That's all.
Yeah, we all do.
I was never jealous of a spoiled rich kid. In fact, it motivated me more to outrun those guys. I was driven to outrun those guys more than maybe a guy that had the same budget as me. Have you ever been in that situation where you feel like, I really want to outrun this guy because I know he's got a big budget? Have you ever felt that way?
Maybe sometimes, but, you know...
Not often.
Let's say when you see like a Ryan Timms where the budget isn't an issue when they go racing.
Yep.
They have plenty of funds to do that at that level, and, you know, it just makes, you know, a regional guy somewhat like me just, you know, want to work harder at trying to become them one day. Just makes you want to work harder to secure more marketing partners that, you know, believe in you, want to be a part of your team, and one day it'll work out for you. It's just kind of the way I think of it.
And Paul, don't take this wrong. He said he's not spoiled. I'm not saying that Ryan Timms is spoiled. I'm saying there's a lot of spoiled rich kids out there. I'm not saying that Ryan is one of them. He's lucky that his family has done well in life, and he's got the opportunity to go out there and race. He's got the talent to do it, and it just everything's come together for him. So I just think that that Ryan Timms is just a lucky individual, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? No. There's nothing wrong with being lucky in life.
No,
that's the cards you're dealt.
I know. What are you going to do if I go home and I go to Quick Trip on my way home and buy a lottery ticket and win $2 million and I'm now...
You're going to buy Ray some boys then?
No. We'll talk about that later.
Right.
No, but when I become, a successful team that can kind of do whatever I want, or, you know, a substantial amount of money, I can do whatever I want. So, I mean, you're just lucky, right?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with being lucky in life.
No, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Any day, right? I like Ryan Timms a lot. And I absolutely love Jimmy Jones. Jimmy Jones is one of my favorite, all-time favorite people. I've traveled with Jimmy on the road for over a decade, traveling up and down the road. Kyle Anderson says, Ryan's a great kid. Who cares how he gets his equipment? I'm just glad to get to witness his success, and I'm with you.
I just want to ask him.
I don't want anybody to say that I feel that Ryan is a spoiled rich kid.
No.
He's just blessed in life.
You're right.
And I had a friend of mine one time. Let me tell you this story once. I won't mention him by name, but he was one of those rich kids, right? And he said to me, he goes, ex-driver, he was talking about another driver, and I won't mention him by name. He said, that spoiled rich kid over there gives us rich kids a bad name. There's a certain group of spoiled rich kids that they don't respect what they have, right?
Yeah, they take advantage of it.
They take advantage of it. So... not at all, Scott. I'm not sure what he was meaning by that, but I just think that Ryan's a good kid, and I don't have any problem with him. I think he's he just takes care of business, and you know what? He is maybe the best young driver that we have right now on the circuit on the 410 Sprint Car circuit.
I wonder how his success would be if he kind of followed Randy's, you know, career. If he kind of went down the late model modified route, it didn't go sprint car racing. I wonder.
Could drive anything.
I think
he
can
to.
Too.
Yeah.
I just wonder how that story would be different if he went down the fendered route.
Yeah. Well, I just think he's a tremendous talent, and I can't wait to have him on the show. Hopefully, we'll be talking to him here in just a few minutes. But let's talk a little bit about last night. They had the Hell Tour was down in Springfield, Missouri last night. Did you see any of that race?
Saw some highlights of it.
Yeah.
Squirrel got the dub.
Squirrel wins. Picked up his second win this week. What'd you think of that? You know, I say that if Bobby Pierce doesn't run off the racetrack down the back straightaway, because Bobby Pierce ended up running second. I think if Bobby Pierce doesn't run off the back straightaway and falls back, I think he was back as far as 10th. I think that Bobby Pierce wins the race last night. What do you think?
I have to agree with you. He's just kind of been on that speed week, you know, kind of roll. I mean, he's done it forever. He's been on that tour for so many years. I think when he started racing late models is when he joined it, and he got a ton of laps and ton of knowledge. And, you know, you don't see the big names like a Davenport or a Mike Marler or like an Overton there. You kind of see more of like a regional tour. So, you know, it would kind of be off to see him not win majority of the races. But, yeah, right. I mean, if he doesn't make that mistake on the backstretch, I think he, you know, picks up another win and just increases that.
Because
that points lead.
He had to work his way all the way from 10th back up to 2nd.
Yeah, and at Springfield, I mean,
That's tough to do. Yeah. You know, I got to give those guys credit down there at Springfield last night. The track was in excellent conditions. You know, for the most part, when I go down there to Springfield, that track rubbers up.
Yeah, it's usually not very good.
But last night, it had a really nice bottom down in 1 and 2. It had some moisture down there. And then on 3 and 4, they were just ripping the top.
That's like I caught a part of the group qualifying as I came back in from the shop last night, and I think it was an 8-car group went out there, and the first couple cars went quick time, and then through like car 4 through 6, the track kind of fell stagnant, and nobody was making any time. The track looked like it was slowing down, and the last car that went out there went quick time by like 3/10.
Right.
So I mean, there was plenty of racetrack still out there, and it's just, you know, who could find it right? And, I mean, that was, you know, one of the better tracks we saw at Springfield in a while.
Yeah, no doubt. He's probably lucky. Lloyd said this as well, but he's probably lucky that race wasn't any longer than it was, because he had a right rear flat when he come in. After he went over the scales, he come down to Victory Lane, and he had that right rear flat.
Yeah, I forgot that happened. It's kind of another part of being lucky, right?
Yeah, well, you got sometimes luck is better than... it's better than being good sometimes. Jason Fager, the 25 car, he had 2 right rear flats within about 4 or 5 laps. Did you see that?
Yeah, I wonder what's going on. I wonder if it's
either
the track
in his tire, right?
Either the track or it's, you know, Hoosier once again just being, you know, unreliable on their tires.
It was only like 4 laps later that he had another right
rear.
We saw
the same deal kind of happen at Belleville with the Super, the XR Super Series, where that only one car had an issue with tires, and that was the guy that blew that right rear tire on the half mile, which ultimately made the decision to move him to the quarter mile. But I wonder if it's just, you know, if they're kind of seeing the same issue we are with our sprint car tires, of them not being cured out long enough and just kind of, you know, delaminating and falling apart.
Yeah, I got to believe that there was something poking a tire on his car, because it happened 2 tires within 4 laps. I can't believe that they would junk out a tire in 4 laps. I can't believe
we've seen sprint cars do it, so it's nothing.
Well, I guess that's true, right? Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Ryan Timms, maybe the best young, talented driver in the country right now, the age of 15 years old. I can't wait till he's 16 and starts running with the Outlaws, the All-Stars. I am so looking forward to that. Ryan Timms joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Joining us now on the show is probably one of the most talented young drivers in the country right now. Austin and I were just talking about a little bit ago. Austin says he's the number one young driver in the country as we speak. Ryan Timms joins us now on the show. Ryan, how you doing, bud?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. And what a stellar weekend last weekend, man. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It was very unexpected. So just to be able to get all three wins and two of the nights being from eighth and ninth it was pretty incredible.
Yeah. On Sunday up at Husich, you started ninth. That's pretty deep in the field to come ripping up through the field and run down Ayrton Jennington and take over the lead. Talk about starting ninth, and did you feel that you had a chance to get through the field?
Yeah, we kind of buried ourselves in qualifying for the whole night, so ninth was being able to start ninth was pretty good for what we qualified, but I was a little worried because the past few times I've raced there, every time I started outside of the redraw, I couldn't even get a podium. So I wasn't super confident. I mean, I was confident, but I was a little nervous, but I think maybe just me wanting it that much more just made me drive that much harder and just made me get it done, I guess.
Do you feel like you're better on the bigger tracks or the smaller tracks? What do you think you excel the most at?
I used to think the smaller tracks, and I still kind of do think that, but lately we've been getting our half-mile program figured out, and we've been doing really good at all the big tracks we ran at lately, so I'm enjoying it a lot, and I used to not like them very much, the bigger tracks, but I'm starting to like them a lot more.
Right. Man, that was a pretty big win for you. You picked up the first Lucas Oil 410 Power Eye race down at Lake Ozark Speedway here just a few weeks ago. I think that was on June 11th. That was the first 410 race for the Power Eye series, and you picked up the win. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, it was pretty cool because I beat Brady Bacon, and he he almost won an outlaw race there. So I feel like that was kind of a cool deal. But to win the first Power Eye race is kind of a piece of history. But it's pretty neat, and I'm just glad that Mother Nature held off for that race. And
No doubt.
It started raining at the beginning a little bit, but we got it in, and the track was perfect, and that whole organization just does a really good job of putting it on.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about young people in racing, the first name that usually pops up is your name. You got to take a little pride in that, knowing that people, when they look at young drivers that are coming up through the pipe right now, that you are the guy that people look at as maybe the most talented young driver coming up through the ranks. Do you ever listen to what people say about you, and do you ever think, man, how blessed am I?
Yeah, especially lately, I've really been just soaking it all in and just being – I'm really grateful for the position I'm in, and I'm doing everything I can to make the most of it and I'm just looking forward to more races, and we'll just see what we can keep doing. I'm listening to everybody, and I think just not letting it get to my head and just going race by race is just the best deal.
Now let me ask you something. Is that hard to do as a young driver at your age, 15 years old? Is that hard to do, to not let it get to your head a little bit? How do you manage the mental side of that when people are talking about how great you are? How do you manage yourself mentally that way?
I mean, to me, it's kind of just like, it's cool to hear it all, but I really don't think I'm that great. I mean, I know I'm good for my age, but if I went and run an outlaw race right now, I don't think I'd go win it like everyone says I would. But I mean, I just try to go race by race and not even think about any of it. And just when I'm at the track, just only focus on that race and just go lap by lap. And I think that just we're all still trying to learn at all these different tracks. And we're still just getting our program better and better. And we're just going to keep getting faster and faster.
Yeah, Austin O'Neill, I don't know if you know who Austin is, but he is here, and he wants to ask you a question real quick. Austin, go ahead, jump in there.
You've been to a lot of different tracks. You've been to PA a couple of times. You've been to Ohio and back in here from the Midwest, and you've been in a lot of different cars with the midgets and the sprint car, but what's your favorite place to race at so far?
That's kind of a hard question. I kind of just have tracks that I dislike and like a lot, but I'd say my top three is probably Husitz is definitely one of them. I'd say I like Trophy Tulare a lot.
Yeah.
Out in California, and probably like Lucas Oil. That's a good track. Those are probably my top three, but it's all really close between like Jackson. I liked a lot, and Lake Ozark. All those tracks.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. You know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show, how important it is to have a really good crew chief. And I know Jimmy Jones has been with you for a few years now. Talk a little bit about what Jimmy Jones brings to your program and what he means to you as a person.
Yeah, he's definitely at least 60 or 70% of our whole team. So he means a lot, and he teaches me a lot just how to drive the car. And you'd think with him never even driving a race car before, he wouldn't know hardly much about driving it, but he knows more than me, I feel like.
Right.
And he's just, it's crazy how much he knows. And he's got, right now especially, he's got my car just hooked up. So I'm really appreciative of him and Billy and Matt. And he's been to all these different tracks, so he knows. And me and him, we communicate really good and we get along well. So
yeah,
just me giving him feedback and him getting the car set up, I think we're doing really good.
Yeah, Jimmy's one of my best friends, man. I just love Jimmy Jones as much as anybody. And the one thing that I think, can that guy tell a story or what?
Yeah, I feel like I've heard every story there is, but
more than once. Yeah, he's really a good guy. So let's talk about, you're getting ready to turn 16. Unfortunately, it's not going to be by the time the Knoxville Nationals is going to be around. Are you excited about the opportunities that's going to take place for you once you turn 16, where you can go run with the All-Stars, you can run with the Outlaws, you can do some other things? Are you excited about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited, especially because my first race with the Outlaws will be at in Grand Forks on the 26th of August. So I've never ran there, but I've seen a lot of videos of that place, and it looks like my type of track, just quarter mile, high bank. So I think we'll be able to compete with the Outlaws and All-Stars. I don't think that like the end of this year when I turn 16 will be the year that I really show what I got. I think we'll still be learning a lot. And I think next year and maybe even the year after will be where I really show everybody what I can do. But up until I turn 16, it sucks. I can't run the Nationals and all these races. But
bummer.
I think it just drags out the hype more and makes all the fans more into it. And it'll just give me a better shot at it when I do turn 16. So rather than just going out there now.
How about, I think you're going to run the Front Row Challenge, right? Is that correct? Did you guys just announce that?
Yeah, that just got organized. Thank you to Terry McCarl for letting me. Originally, I wasn't going to be able to, but he made an exception. So I really appreciate him. He's been really generous to all of us, so just big thanks to him for letting us run that. That'll be a cool deal.
Yeah. So what is the? Let me ask you. You know, we talked about this a little bit. Have you ever thought about driving something else besides an open wheel car? You know, we cover late model racing, the Lucas Oil Late Model Series, the World of Outlaw Late Model Series, the XR. Super Series. Have you ever thought about jumping in a late model? Have you ever done that?
I've never done it. It's crossed my mind before. I think it'd be cool. But I'm just so invested in the sprint car deal. I'm sure eventually down the road I'll try it out. But as of now, I'm just trying to make a name for myself in the sprint car stuff. So, we'll just keep sticking to that and we'll just see where that takes me.
Yeah. Do you have goals in life? Have you thought about where you want to end up? I mean, you know, a lot of people, they want to make the big bucks in NASCAR. I don't know if that's something that's in your plans or if you'd like to be able to do that. try to drive some of those heavy cars. What is your goal in life as far as a racer?
As of now, it's I don't really have much interest in asphalt or anything besides sprint cars, really. But I mean, we'll see later down the road if it might come to NASCAR. I might get interested in it just for the money or something. But I will just see. I'd like to be able to make a good living running sprint cars, but all the money is up in NASCAR. So, yeah. But the sprint cars are getting a lot bigger now. So hopefully that just starts taking off, and we can do some cool things there.
Yeah, have you thought about driving? I don't know if maybe you've driven one before. Have you ever driven a Silver Crown car before?
No, I haven't before. But I mean, I consider it. I think it'd be cool, but I don't see the reason to really. But it'd be cool.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, so where are you going this weekend? Are you gonna be up at Huset's this weekend?
This weekend, we're taking the weekend off and going to the lake. And then the next week, this next coming week, we're going to PA Speed Week from Wednesday to Saturday, I believe. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it seems like you guys always hustle back to Huset's every week.
Yeah, because of my age.
Yeah.
Up north, PA and Huset's is probably the best. Other than California, but they just turned their deal to 16, but it's the best competition I can really run with, you know, because of my age. So PA, it's a humbling place, and mm-hmm. I know this next week is going to be a humbling trip. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to the laps, and those guys are good out there, and it's tough out there. So it just makes us that much better when we go up there and run with those guys. I mean, we went up there earlier in the year, not earlier in the year, probably like a month or two ago, up to PA. And then when we came back, we had that this past awesome weekend. So I think just running up there with those good guys makes you that much better when you come back.
Right. Yeah. You run second at Lernerville, didn't you?
Yeah, we ran second one night and fifth the other.
Yeah. At Port Royal, you run fifth. Yeah. Well, man, I am so excited for you. You know, I'm fortunate to say that I've watched you race quite a bit when you were with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, and I just think that the future is yours, my friend. All you got to do is just stay focused on what you're doing, and I think you're going to be one of the most talented sprint car drivers out there, and I'm looking forward to seeing you when you're 25 years old. When you get 10 more years of experience, I think that if you and Jimmy can hang together, if you can keep Jimmy around long enough, I think that the future is yours, my friend.
Yeah, I think me and Jimmy will be together for a while. So I agree. I think that by the time I get that much older, I'll be a lot better. So I look forward to just seeing what the future holds, really, and all this is happening right now is just so surreal to me. Yeah. It's just so much to take in, but I'm enjoying it, and my confidence is really high right now. So we'll just see how we do this next week.
Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. We appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you down the road. If you get another win, we hope that you'll come back on the show with us again.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. I'll definitely come back. I enjoy it.
All right, buddy. See you later, Ryan. Appreciate it. Thank you.
See you guys.
All right. There you have it. Ryan Timms joining us here on the show. I want to remind everybody that the track tribute to Ascot Park is taking place right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to go through October 1st. They've got a lot of cars up there that raced at Ascot Park. I don't know, seven, eight, nine of them up there. They've got a lot of driver uniforms. A lot of information about Ascot Park that was in Gardena. It's a great exhibit to go up and see right now, and it's only happening at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Also, we want to remind everybody that they still have the the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. They're going to raffle off that car. That's only one of 1,000 of those cars that were made. I told you I found one online the other day for $150,000 for sale. You can still register. If you can't get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can register at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette C8R contest.com. Again, Corvette C8R contest.com. If you'd like to draw, get in the drawing for this IMSA Corvette, man. It is such a great, great car. And also want to remind everybody that they got the raffle going on for the 2022 Triple X chassis with the 410 motor in it. They're going to be raffling that off on December 16th, Friday, during the Knoxville Nationals. And if you'd like to be involved with that raffle, and you can't make it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, I hope you can, because it's such a great, it's just a treasure, folks. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is a treasure. But if you can't make it there in person, you can buy a raffle ticket at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. It's a brand new 2022 Triple X chassis. It's got a 410 motor in it. And again, if you can't make it up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in person, you can do it at SprintCarRaffle.com. We are going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. Motorsports, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. My boy Scotty Cook's listening to the show right now. He says, I think I'm staying at Normandy Friday night. You're more than welcome to stay here, Scotty. Come on, man. You can just ride. We could leave your car at the racetrack, and then you can ride back with me, and then I'll just take you back to the racetrack on save you some fuel that way. I know you're always worried about fuel consumption.
Tell Scotty he can come over here Friday and do the show with us, be our first person to sit in with us.
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it? Scotty, are you up for that? Why don't you come over here Friday a little early and do the show with me in Austin? We'll kick Kirk out on Friday. How about that?
Give him the boot, poor guy.
Poor guy. He's retiring. He's just leaving me hanging, dangling in the wind.
We're already kicking him out.
He's leaving me dangling in the wind. Thank God I got you, Austin.
I'm not much, but I'm something for
you. Oh, whatever. Shut up. Come on. Why you act like that? You know better than that. Hey, what are you going to watch tonight? You going to watch Power Eye tonight?
No, Husetts.
Husetts?
Starts tonight.
I'm going to watch both.
Yeah, you got four TVs. I got one.
I got five.
True. You got me beat on that.
I've got you know what I did the other night? I took a laptop and I put it up there, you know, on our screen that we have there and the TV in front of you. And I hooked a laptop up to it and I watched USMTS on that TV over there. So I have five TVs going plus my laptop. That's six altogether.
Well, if you really wanted to get into it, the two monitor sitting next to me, if you figured out how to get an HDMI cable to it and two computers, you could
run them out
races,
all that
but,
too.
I mean, you can't see anything, but you got them on at least.
Right. How about our new camera angle right there?
I know.
You like it?
It's different.
We got a little pool table going on right there. I like it. We want to thank our old buddy Steve Griswold for coming over there and giving us a hand yesterday. He's a good guy, isn't he? Oh, Steve.
He is. Got us all tuned up. We'll get some more in here, but we're working on it.
We've got two more cameras that we've got that we're getting ready to put up in here, right?
Yep.
If we can just get them to work.
That's the hardest part.
So Hugh sits tonight, and you won't flip over there and watch a little Power Eye? You'll watch a little of it, won't you?
No.
Come on.
No, when I watch a race, I'll get some buddies on my computer, and we'll all turn on the race, and we'll just sit there, and we call it a watch party and just hang out and watch the race and get into it.
Who
so,
normally comes over and watches the races with you? Mike?
No. So
Mike never comes over and watches them with you?
No, not really, unless it's, you know, a Chili Bowl or something. But
right.
No, on the computer, I'll just have my buddy Ace and Chris and Opie on, and just the four of us will hang out.
Opie?
Yeah, it's his nickname. We call him Opie. There's two Justin, so we have to call
one of them Opie.
Yeah, but that's
how did he get the nickname Opie?
I have no idea. It was
you knew him.
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's the group I get to hang out with.
They all your age?
No, well, yeah. Ace is a year younger, but Opie and Chris are 34. So Chris comes and works for me sometimes throughout the year.
Are you talking about Ace?
Yeah, Ace Bodenhammer.
Yeah. How's he doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah. He's got an excellent mother. Jackie?
Yes.
She is fantastic. She is a really good woman. Brett Bybee is lucky to have her, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What did you take out of that interview with Ryan Timms? Did you take anything out of that?
Yeah, he's, you know, he kind of has some thoughts about, you know, going other places with his career. You know, like he kind of said, you know, about the payoff for the sprint car racing.
Right.
I mean, I definitely think he has the talent too. You know, he has a good opportunity with, whiteboard just fell over. He has a good opportunity with Keith Koontz right now. You know, you kind of switched rides from Chad Boat to Keith Koontz, so you never know, he might get hooked up with the Toyota development program and kind of follow Buddy and Kaylee's, you know, route to pavement racing and might get into a little bit of pavement late model racing and then, you know, maybe in the future some truck racing.
Is he part of the Toyota program?
I'm not sure if he is. I just know usually, I mean, if you're bought into Keith's ride, you usually are. Maybe they just did the ride and passed the driver program. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it seemed to me in that interview that we just did with Ryan Timms, and if you missed it, what episode is today?
116.
116. One of my favorite numbers, 16. If you missed it, go back and listen to it again. But you know what I found out of that interview more than anything? He's pretty humble.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a big head. He's not full of himself.
No, I kind of chuckled to myself at one point. He said that he doesn't feel like he's that good right now.
Whatever.
And I'm like, no, dude, you're pretty good. You're not doing this just off of, you know, just looking into it. I mean, you just drove from ninth to win at Houston's, and he drove by some really good cars.
Really good cars.
Yeah, I mean, it's for his age and the way he's kind of set up, you don't see people that humble, and it's good that he is, and it'll only, you know, benefit him in the future.
Yeah. Where do you think, how much apart is Ryan Timms from Buddy Kofoid? How far apart are they? Quite a bit? Or just a little? You never thought about that? Well, it's a question.
I know. I mean, I think...
See, this is why I get the big bucks over here.
Oh, really?
I ask the tough questions.
I mean, I think they could be kind of close, you know? They're pretty...
I say that Ryan is... maybe two steps back from Buddy right now.
Yeah, I mean, he still has a long way to go and kind of catching up to where Buddy's at, but, you know, I think if he kind of continues down the path he's on, he'll be, you know, where Buddy is one day.
Right. I just think that right now, Buddy Kofoid is leading the national USAC midget points. He's got a pretty healthy lead over Justin Grant right now. I say healthy. I don't know what the difference is in the points right there. Can I do the math really quick?
What's the numbers?
761 Buddy Kofoid has versus Justin Grant, who has 715. What is that?
46, I think.
That's a pretty decent lead, isn't it?
46 point difference.
How many points can a guy get in a night with the USAC midgets? Do you know? How many can they gain in one night? That's the question I have. So, anyway, we'll have Austin look that up here in just a second. But right now, Buddy Kofoid leads the national USAC midget points. Justin Grant is second. Bryant Wiedemann is third. Mitchell Moles is fourth. And Thomas Meserol, who we've tried to get a hold of, and he just won't get back with us for whatever reason. We've been trying to get T-Maz on the show for quite some time. How about Kaylee Bryson? She's sixth in points right now. That's pretty good. I gotta give her a little credit right there. She's a pretty good little racer. Would you agree with me that Kaylee Bryson's pretty good?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of reading the points here for USAC, and there's a couple different ways by leading laps and fast qualifier and the leader of the race for the most laps and there's thinking of another one that
you'd
goes
have
in
to
there.
Do some math on that.
But
to figure out.
If you're just going to go off of feature points, 70 right. to the winner, and 23 points to 20th, so you can make up a little under 50 points if you win and somebody else has a bad night.
So really, it only takes one bad night for Buddy Kofoit to lose the point lead.
Yes.
Right. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning into the broadcast, man. You guys are just so awesome, the people that tune in each and every day. Here's Caleb says, I think Tim's is further at 15 than Buddy was at 15. What do you think about that?
I didn't see Buddy really race at 15.
You saw him race at 10, though, didn't you?
I said I didn't see Buddy race at 15.
No, but I mean, you saw Ryan race at 10. He rolled in with a big old rig with a junior sprint, right?
Yeah, first time I ever saw Ryan Timms race was Sweet Springs, and they brought this stacker in, and you're like, man, who is this kid, or who is this? And you'd expect them to roll out like a three or four car operation. It's a little junior sprint, and kid goes out there and puts a half track on the field that night. And Ever since 2016, you know who Ryan Timms is.
Mel brings up a good question. How good would Timms be without the crew chief he has? I think he's still got the talent.
No, he would have the talent. I think it would come a little, maybe his success would be a little slower.
All right. Steve's checking in from Farmers Market, Indiana. Appreciate that. All right, well, that's it for today, folks. Tomorrow, we've got, who do we have on tomorrow?
Chase Rodman.
Chase Rodman from the World of Outlaws, one of my favorite guys, pit reporting. He does a great job. Everybody knows Scotty Cook's my man. But anyway, we'll have Chase Rodman on with World of Outlaws tomorrow. We'll talk everything World of Outlaws with him. And you got anything you need to add in there, Austin? You done? That's it? That's all you got? All right. Well, for Austin O'Neill, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for doing it. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.